Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
According to a new report from the National Science Board, the United States, which was once a global leader in science and technology, is now playing a less dominant role in many areas. And joining me now, I have Arthur Lupia, Assistant Director at the National Science Foundation, and Batika Khan, also from the National Science Foundation. Thank you both for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Stephen.
First of all, Arthur, tell us about the National Science Foundation.
Well, thanks for having us. The National Science Foundation is a federal agency that funds all of science, from astrophysics to psychology. It funds basic research at colleges and universities across the country and throughout California. And one of the things it also does is it has a federal statistical agency in it called the National Center for Science and Engineering Statistics. And they're the group that produced this new report.
So now, does that actually, what's the difference between that and the National Science Board? I know the National Science Board, they're the ones that actually put out the report. Is that correct?
Yeah, so the National Science Board is a presidentially appointed board. So they've right now, I think it's about half have been appointed by President Trump and half were appointed by President Obama. And their job is to oversee the National Science Foundation and to give advice to the government and to the country about science policy. So they publish their report, but all the statistical work, all the data is gathered and all the tables are prepared by the National Center for Science and Engineering Statistics, which is part of NSF.
Okay, great. Now, every 2 years, the board puts together a report that highlights the science and engineering trends and progress. What are some of the key trends and what do they suggest for the U.S. and other countries?
That's a great question. So the headlines are, as has been the case since the 1950s, the U.S. in many respects is still the world leader in science research and development. We invest the most money in R&D. We attract the most venture capital for science research. We award the most doctoral degrees. And the most international students from all over the world come here to study science. And those things have been true for many years. What's changing is that a number of other countries are looking at the American success story, how much investments in science have grown the economy and things of that nature, and they're copying it. So now we have a lot more competition, particularly from places like China.
Okay, now tell us about the global interest and growth in science and engineering activities as a whole.
Yeah, well, you know, across the world, many countries are investing more in science, investing more in universities. The U.S., for example, since 2000, has increased its investment in science, I think probably 4 or 5% a year, and that's a lot, particularly when you add it up every year. China, by contrast, has been increasing its investments about 17% per year every year since 2000. And some of the consequences of that are in fields like aerospace and automobile manufacturing and software and pharmaceuticals and computers. You see tons of innovation that have added billions of dollars of value to the economy. For example, in the U.S., if you think of the industries, again, like pharma and aerospace that are heavily R&D intensive, we now have nearly $1 trillion, just over $1 trillion of products are produced in the U.S. as a result of that investment.
Now, one thing I also found that was very interesting about the report is that you look at the average mathematics scores of eighth graders in the U.S. Tell me about that.
We do it. We look at it across the country in comparison to other countries and over time. And so, you know, math is really important for science, really important for a lot of skills. And, you know, there's good news and bad news in these scores. The U.S. is in the middle of the pack in terms of countries that are interested in industry and science like ours. So we're just about in the middle with the scores. And so, you know, we could do better. We could be worse. I think one thing that's really been concerning for people is that this has been the case for a while. So in the last 10 years, there's been a noticeable movement in math or science scores amongst eighth graders. So to the extent that we want to be, you know, the world leader in science and mathematics and engineering, you know, it's important to get those skills up.
Now, is there any suggestion in the report on how we can do that?
The report, I have to say, the report is backwards facing. So what it does is collect data on how things are happening, where they're happening, and so forth. But in terms of the whys, that's a little tougher, right? That gets into policy and thinking about trade-offs. And so there's a lot of information here about what we could do, but the report itself doesn't tell what to do. That's actually the National Science Board and the government's job.
Okay, now you also in the report also mentions that U.S. universities continue to do very well in the science and engineering category. Tell me about that.
Oh, absolutely. In terms of drawing students, the U.S. is still the world destination for students who want to come and really, you know, learn about all the sciences, both at the undergraduate level and particularly at the graduate level where they're getting PhDs. So even though the world is becoming more international, the U.S. is still the place where the most students come. The growth rate has slowed over the last couple of years, and in some cases it's even declined. But even with, you know, Australia and Canada and other countries doing more to try national students to their universities, the U.S. is still the world leader.
Now, Batika, here's a question for you. As far as California goes, how does California differ when it comes to individual state performance?
Sure. So California is actually very large in terms of science investment. So investment, for example, California accounts for almost a fourth of all of U.S. investment. So it's the only state in the U.S. actually that invests more than $30 billion per year in R&D. And you asked about other states. Just for comparison, Massachusetts, which ranks second in R&D investment, spends $29 billion. So compare California's, you know, $135 billion with the second largest state, which is $30 billion. Also, California attracts a large amount of venture capital investment, which we know is very important. And also, California has one of the larger scientific workforce, so workers like engineers, life scientists, technicians. California has a large number of those workers.
I imagine that would be as a result of all of the tech companies that we have in California. Is that correct?
That's a good part of it. However, keep in mind that scientific workforce is broad, right? It's engineers and IT workers. However, there are also technicians and physical scientists and social scientists. So California has a large number of all of those. It has a diverse scientific workforce.
Okay, Arthur, as we get ready to wrap things up, what do you see as the most specific point of interest about this report?
Well, I mean, one thing that it shows is the country's continued investments in science and engineering, you know, not just in certain cities, but all across the country, at places like UC Riverside, across the Inland Empire. You know, it's so important, not just for intellectual growth, but for job creation. And it's not just about the jobs of today. If there are so many people and firms that are inventing the jobs and opportunities of tomorrow, and so much of that comes from science. The data that we have shows the relationship because we can look at it over a long period of time. And, you know, America's leadership in science is really a key ingredient to America's continued leadership in places like the economy and keeping the country secure and so forth. So I think, you know, this report really shows the importance of that commitment to science as a nation.
Arthur Lupia, Assistant Director at the National Science Foundation, and Batika Khan, also from the National Science Foundation. And we've been talking about a new report from the National Science Board stating that the United States, which was once a global leader in science and technology, is still a leader but is now playing a less dominant role in many areas. So thank you both for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.